You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm David Lazarus. We're talking speed. And let's start this segment off with a flash, as in flash sales. When's the last time you paid top dollar for anything? In this age of social media and online promotions, the rule of thumb seems to be if you paid the full retail price, you were had. Whether it's a coupon arriving in your inbox, a Groupon offer, or a tweet alerting you to a quickie deal, this is the era of instant retail gratification. Flash sales, in industry parlance. So how do you keep up? What's the best way to take advantage of this super fast way of doing business? And do flash sales make sense for merchants who seem to be focusing on individual deals rather than long-term relationships? Valerie Folks, a professor at USC's Marshall School of Business, joins us to explain.
Some sale will be offered on the internet, and typically it will be mentioned through social media. One reason why it's so successful is it generates a lot of talk, a lot of chatter on the web.
Now, let me give you a for instance. I have bought wristwatches online before, so the internet knows I like watches, therefore I see lots of ads for watches. Earlier today, I got a tweet, a suggested tweet or a sponsored tweet or whatever they're calling paid ads. I got one of those that said, "Act fast, watches are going for two for $60. Now, I assume that's a flash sale right there.
Yes, that would be a flash sale. Now, think about how that works as opposed to the fact when you're just sitting around thinking about various kinds of watches you might buy. Well, you could always procrastinate on that purchase. There's no time pressure. So the great thing about a flash sale, from the perspective of the seller anyway, is that it gets you going. It generates some momentum. You now have to make a decision fast. And oftentimes when people make very fast decisions, they don't weigh things quite so carefully. They tend to jump for it.
Hence, this is a digital version of the impulse buy, which is the thing that you're going to buy right there at the cash register.
Exactly, yes. Very effective, too.
Can you give us an example of specific companies that do better at flash sales than others?
Well, let's take travel. Everyone likes to travel, and people like to daydream about traveling, but oftentimes people will procrastinate about actually taking that step and checking for fares and booking a particular flight. Well, a flash sale for an airline is very effective because then people have to decide, okay, I really need to do this thing that I've been fantasizing about. I need to do it right now.
I seem to recall JetBlue, during the darkest days of winter, offered people on the East Coast a $32 fare for 32 minutes, as long as the weather was 32 degrees out.
Yes, wasn't that a clever way to market their product? It fits so well with JetBlue because, first of all, it's kind of a fun idea. Second of all, it gets people thinking about JetBlue because it reminds people JetBlue offers all these great deals. I really need to pay attention to JetBlue because who knows what they'll come up with next.
But how do they not lose money with something like that?
What they're really doing here is buying great publicity because they're getting people talking about their airline and about travel. And look, if you miss out on this, if you don't actually get on the airplane, you are now thinking about going someplace, and you're thinking about going someplace that JetBlue flies.
So this is the cyber equivalent of a loss leader or a doorbuster.
Yes, yes. Or buying, you know, buying publicity, right.
In fact, rather than, let's say, traditional marketing, like buying a newspaper ad or buying a banner ad online, this is a way of putting your marketing dollars to perhaps a more playful use.
That's right. And one of the problems companies have, many companies have, is trying to figure out how to market to this generation that is so much more wired than previous generations. What we find is that a lot of young people don't spend as much time on traditional media. And so how do we reach those people? Well, this JetBlue ad or promotion is just the sort of thing that works very effectively on the web.
So in the case of Groupon, you have these very low offers. You have very specific time limits that are involved. How does that affect the dynamic of flash sales?
So Groupon is a very interesting type of promotional device because it requires people to sign up to get access to those. And that helps because then only certain people hear about the promotions. Now, Groupon seemed like a really good deal for a while, but I think the more recent research suggests that it works for this price-sensitive group of consumers, but it doesn't really generate long-term sales. So Groupon people tend to go only for the sales. This still can help a company, though, or a retailer. Let's suppose a retailer offers an opportunity for a Groupon people to try his or her product, whether it's a nail salon, hair salon, or restaurant, or whatever, it does generate traffic. And sometimes that's important, just the perception of seeing a place that seems to be crowded, seems to be well patronized, encourages other people then to also go to that retail outlet.
Yeah, but you're saying, yeah, there'll be a first date, but you won't necessarily get a relationship out of it.
Yes, that's right.
Well, let's go back to that tweet I saw earlier about getting two watches for $60. If you get enough of those kind of offers, or 40% off for a pair of shoes, or whatever it is, aren't you going to become inured to this sort of thing, and you simply will never, ever pay full price again? You'll just always wait around for the special deal, and thus the merchant is in a situation where he or she is constantly having to offer sale prices.
Oh, David, you're so right. This does happen all the time. And what people have learned for certain department stores and a lot of retail outlets is not to buy. It is a dilemma because timing of promotions has to be very good and very thoughtful if a company wants to not train people to just wait for a sale to buy.
Valerie Folks is a professor of marketing at USC Marshall School of Business. Valerie, thank you very much for this flashy interview.
Thank you, David.
So let's put what we just learned into action. If you want to travel, you already know that you're going to be paying a pretty penny, especially for airline tickets. That said, it seems like we're always hearing about people who somehow got a sweet deal on tickets. How did they do it? Is there some way to game the system? Well, turns out there is, sort of. And to tell us more, we're joined by George Hobica. He's head of AirfareWatchdog.com. Hiya, George.
Hi, David.
So I see a tweet, I see a Facebook posting, I see an email saying Southwest Airlines or United Airlines or American Airlines, low, low, low fares. Clock's ticking. How fast do I have to move on that?
Well, it really depends, David. I think there are three types of these sale fares. One is the advertised sale, which you get in your email from Southwest Airlines. The other is unadvertised sales. And these are the ones that the airlines don't really want you to know about because they only have a few seats available at the lowest fare. The third kind is the mistake fare.
Well, and the mistake fare. I remember United Airlines recently, they had mistake transatlantic fares for very low prices and didn't honor them.
Yes. You know, so many years ago, the airlines had in their contract of carriage, if we make a mistake, we don't have to honor them. And then the DOT said, yes, you do have to honor them. In the case of the latest United mistake fare, it wasn't United that made the mistake. It was a third-party site that was doing a currency conversion inaccurately, and United was able, I think, legitimately to wiggle out of it. A lot of times when these mistake fares happen, it goes all over the internet, and people pile on. And when I mean pile on, they buy 20 first-class tickets for $2, and it really does cause some loss to the airline.
You refer to what's basically a stealth sale. An airline has a few seats left over on a specific flight, wants to get the word out fast. So what do they do?
Well, usually they don't do anything. They lower the fare, and then airfare sites like Airfare Watchdog will send out an email or a tweet to tell people about these amazing sales.
So that's what your site specializes in. You see the fare go down, and you alert your customer base.
We alert our customers when there's a really, really cheap fare. And we also occasionally do these mistake fares. But personally, I feel a little bad about it. So I'm a little bit less likely to jump on a mistake airfare. The mistake fares, they have many, many seats available because there's no break on those fares. But the unadvertised sale fares, they might only have one or two seats at the lowest fare.
And you're alerting millions.
Yeah, so you really have to jump on it very, very quickly. And what I tell people is put it on a 24-hour hold because now the DOT has ruled that every airline requires that passengers be able to put fares on a hold. On American Airlines, you don't even have to pay for it. And then talk to your spouses and your friends and get the hotels and get all your ducks in line.
But how do I do that so fast? I mean, you're describing a game of musical chairs where the music stops and a million people try and sit in the chair.
You have to look at your tweets constantly. You have to check your emails constantly. And most of these fares, actually, people miss. But if you're on it, you can save literally hundreds of dollars. So, I mean, we saw recently, for example, Rio de Janeiro from several hub cities for $380 round trip on American Airlines.
So you watch airline flash sales for a living. What is the most amazing deal you ever saw?
We did see 77 cents on U.S. Airways from, say, Hilton Head to San Francisco round trip. We saw $20 first class from most U.S. cities to Honolulu round trip. Not too long ago, we saw this really weird deal. You had to fly from the United States to Prague and then from there to Hong Kong or Tokyo. And I think it was about $200, but it was one way. Then you had to find your way back. And a lot of people used airline miles to get back.
So before your site can send out the word that there's a deal out there, you have to find out about it. How do you do that?
We use the same tools that everyone else uses. We'll use Google Flights. We'll use Kayak. We'll use the airline sites, you know, the JetBlue.coms and the United.coms. And we see if we can book tickets. And if we can book tickets, we post them or tweet them. If we can't, then we know it's really not bookable.
Well, why can't I just do that?
Anyone can do it. Absolutely. You don't really need us, but we hope that we provide a service.
But if I've got a million people to beat, don't I want to be the one doing it just like you're doing it?
You know, one of the problems with a site like ours is that people don't like to share it. And because it might be only a few seats, yeah, you're definitely in competition with everyone else on the internet for those few seats that might be available. But we do hope that you share because friends don't let friends pay too much for airfare.
George Hobica is the head of airfarewatchdog.com. George, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, David.